Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
And we welcome you to Las Vegas. It is, man, it was a late night last night. Wow. And it wasn't me being out on the strip. It was USC and UCLA. Today, it is the semifinals here in Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena, doing the show, brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. Appreciate Columbus Craft Meats for us on the road at the Pac-12 tournament. Everybody at Columbus Craft Meats, it's the perfect time of year with all the games getting started, the brackets being released. You're going to have your parties. You're going to have your get-togethers. Columbus Craft Meats for March. You want to be involved with all the madness. That is Columbus Craft Meats. So last night I watched UCLA and USC. I've seen just a ton of basketball. I've been living indoors. It's amazing when you get into Vegas this time of year. This morning, over at South Point where I've been staying, it's NASCAR weekend up here. So there's two things going on. First of all, this is I don't know who got the memo, but this is an Arizona Wildcat convention going on here in Las Vegas. You know the conventions that people from around the country roll on in and they take over the strip? This is an Arizona Wildcat convention. There's no other way to put it. Last night, I'm trying to bump around, and it's not the red of Utah. Don't get me wrong here. This is all red from Tucson and points beyond. And it is young and it is old. I think when we first started coming up here, it had more of a gray feel to it. Nothing wrong with that. But now it's dudes with hats on backwards that are going to Top Golf and hanging out on the strip late at night. The basketball last night, USC was just putrid, just awful early in the game. And my guy Lonzo Ball got in foul trouble. I actually walked out of the game for a bit, went over to the book to see how the Suns were doing against the Lakers. And the Suns did not disappoint last night. The Suns played right up to my expectations of them. They absolutely blew because I want them to take Lonzo and put Lonzo on the floor. And all of a sudden there'll be a vibe and a buzz and an energy. There's something about him when he walks out. And we'll get into that as the show moves on. Matt Muehlbach's going to be with us at some point in today's show. And working on a couple of other things. But really, this is the celebration of college basketball. Like, this morning, the book had people lined up going over their notes and looking at the games today because there's some games that are on the line, in particular, the two games here. So, and I'll get into U of A in a minute, but Cal against Oregon. So Cal is supposedly a Final Four team to get into the tournament, one of the Final Four teams to get into the tournament. They're not a Final Four team. But their game against Oregon tonight has a significant amount of meaning, I think, when it comes to the NCAA tournament. A lot of talk up here that their coach, Quanzo Martin, is going to be gone. Ivan Rabb, their big man in the middle, doesn't touch the ball nearly enough. They've been a mystery of team of sorts this year. But tonight, here, it's going to be Cal Oregon early. And in watching Oregon yesterday, they did what they were supposed to do against Arizona State. Arizona State just ran out of gas. That's it. Plain and simple. There was nothing else that you could say. It was a close game up to halftime. Really admire the job that Bobby Hurley did with a team that top to bottom, not that talented, but he brought guys along. This was one of those in-between years. Feel very good. I'll talk about this later in the show about where they're going from here. They're not Arizona. They don't pretend to be Arizona. They're not there yet. I don't know if they'll ever get there. U of A game, so Lauri Markkanen went back to being Lauri Markkanen, hitting outside jump shots yesterday. I'm sitting there watching him as the game progressed, and it's okay. This is the guy that when Eric and I went to Tucson back in January, we saw him absolutely annihilate ASU with his outside touch. He was 5 for his last 21. That's not good. But yesterday, or last night rather, the 20 points from him and the 19 from Trier, you get 39 from those two, you're probably going to win a lot of tournament games. If Lauri Markkanen is able to shoot the outside shot as he did yesterday, he actually got contributions out of Raleigh Alkins. Alkins has been one of those guys you haven't seen or heard that much from. And Sean has messed around with his bench. Some of the freshmen aren't seeing as many minutes. And we'll talk about that as the show moves on with Matt Muehlbach a little bit later on. But I admire how coaches bring teams along. Like watching Oregon yesterday, Dylan Brooks decided he was going to take over. Watching U of A last night, it was Alonzo Trier and Lauri Markkanen and some other players, some role players that you've got to have. Here's the thing about this tournament, though. I don't know how to explain it. In the last 23 games that have been played here in Las Vegas in the Pac-12 tournament, the higher seed has won. There have been no upsets. Eric, have you been? You have not been able to watch this because it's on the almighty Pac-12 network, right? You haven't seen any of the games up here. Or did you watch some of UCLA-USC? It was on ESPN last night.
Outside of highlights, I have seen absolutely positively zero live basketball thanks to the agreement between DirecTV and the Pac-12, or I should say the lack of agreement between the Pac-12 and DirecTV. So, nope, no basketball for me.
And so here's the thing. Larry Scott got an extension out of it.
Yes, he did.
They announced an extension yesterday for Larry Scott. And it's like, I don't know. We like Larry Scott, and he's done some very good forward-thinking things. But, man, you put a television network that nobody can watch. The hotel that I'm staying at, okay, it's not on in the hotel room. I have yet to stay in a hotel that has the Pac-12 network on it. So for fans to see the distribution, to see the league, I don't get where that comes from. I don't see where this league, when you compare the dollars of the Big Ten and the SEC, but Larry gets an extension out of the deal. The fact that, Eric, the fact that the last 22 games have been played in this conference, there have been zero upsets. The higher seed always wins. I don't know if that's good for the league. I don't know if that's bad for the. I don't know what the reasoning is for that. And if you've got any, you have any ideas why? I mean, I could ask Jimmy about Carol, but
it's interesting because in tournaments everywhere around the country, every year there's at least one or two mid-level upsets. I mean, yesterday TCU beat Kansas an 8-1. That's a pretty big upset. Yeah, it's. I'm not sure what the deal is. I don't know. I don't know if that's. I wouldn't say, Brad, that's necessarily good for the Pac-12 because you want to see a little chaos this time of year, and the Pac-12 tournament is a great event to attend. But I think people that go there are almost hoping to see not necessarily their team get upset, but at least some upsets along the way.
Don't you think that it just speaks to the haves and have-nots in this conference?
I think so.
Like, it's always the same every year we come up here, and I love coming up to this event. But to be sitting here today and have U of A against UCLA tonight is a titanic, great, great basketball matchup. To have Oregon and Cal on the other side, really, really interesting matchup to me. But Cal may be losing their coach. It's what's it going to take to have in Arizona State, you would think Washington having Markelle Fultz, even though he didn't play up here and he's probably going to leave. He's a one and done guy that they're going to continue to slide. I don't know in watching Stanford and Jared Haas if they're going to get it figured out. They have a nice little team. Utah is a team that every year Larry Krystowiak seems to get a lot out of them, but they're not here now. They're probably NIT bound. I don't really see where there's a team. And I know it's going to sound like Homer guy because I'm up here from Arizona, but I think Bobby Hurley may be that guy that can get a team to play into the second and third days up here in advance of the third day, not just the second day. I really believe, Eric, after watching him the last few days, and really during the season, I went to half dozen games in person. I sat in the bleachers for three of those games that I remember. Took my son to two of them. It's a different viewing experience when you go as a fan. When you have that credential around your neck and you watch things differently, and like the last few weeks watching them, Bobby got about as much blood out of the turnip as you could have imagined out of this team. And he returns his guards next year. You know, he's got Trey Holder coming back. He's got Shannon Evans coming back. He's got Cody Justice coming back. Now, U of A fan with the hat on backwards who never gives anybody a break and said, oh, those guys can play on our team. I don't know about that. I know that that's a pretty good three to build around if you have some bigs to put alongside of them. I think Bobby's just gotten a ton of respect up here from the people that saw how much he was able to get out of this team. All right, going to have more on the tournament. Matt Muehlbach in a few minutes. On the other side, there's a lot of NFL. I got to circle back on the college basketball because Duke, North Carolina is tonight and UCLA, Arizona is tonight. Which game am I going to focus in on? Yeah, I'm here, but man, Duke, North Carolina for a third time? Are you kidding me? But some NFL on the other side. We are live in Las Vegas, brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. We appreciate the support of Columbus Craft Meats, one of our great partners through the years. On the road here at the Pac-12 tournament, Columbus Craft Meats picks them up in the deli section around the state for the basketball action that's coming ahead here in the next few weeks. Back with more after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I think Jimmy Vaccaro is going to be with us here in a few minutes, too, from South Point. And Jimmy's been a busy, busy man. I was down at, that's where I've been staying this week. And Brent Musburger is doing his new deal from down there. It's interesting. I was a guest on that show day before yesterday and talking with the guys when I got back in between games about what they're doing down there. It's pretty, pretty well thought out. I would say that Brent's got it figured out. He's got some really smart people around him, and Jimmy is one of those. And we'll talk with Jimmy here in a few minutes. Okay, so let's move over to the NFL side, because I got a lot of notes about what do you think. And some of you just are still caught up in this delusion that Tony Romo is going to end up in an Arizona Cardinal uniform, and that's not happening. This is not fantasy football. I think what I've been able to take away from the Cardinals to this point, unless something does shake out, and you would think when it comes to quarterbacks, the big guys, the Schefters of the world, would and Ian Rapoport's would already be saying the Cardinals are linked to somebody, and they haven't. So kicking tires and seeing what has happened to this point in free agency. So Romo via trade, still with the Cowboys. Kirk Cousins' situation, as we've been talking about the last few weeks, is going to be a trade deal. With Matt Barkley going to the 49ers, Matt Barkley is with the Cardinals. Let's not forget that. I think the Cardinals saw something in Matt Barkley, but for whatever reason, were not able to get the most out of him. He went to the Bears and got run over because it's the Bears. And now he ends up in the 49ers, so we have to look at him from a standpoint of he's in the division with the Cardinals. I don't know. You know, the 49ers are signing all these people. Here's the thing on free agency, guys, and I've always subscribed to this theory. If you're active in free agency, it means you have crapped the bed when it comes to the draft. If you're active in free agency, by active meaning signing multiple players, if you're one of those teams that's got to be active every year in free agency, it means your player personnel has been a miss. So let's just look at some of these teams that have been active in free agency. The 49ers have been horrible. The Jets are looking at Jay Cutler. Do I need to say anything more about that? Now, it's one thing to be active in free agency. You know, for Jacksonville to throw big dollars at Calais Campbell, to me, makes a ton of sense. Doesn't make sense for Calais in terms of being able to win. Makes sense for Calais to go get a huge paycheck and a mentor at this stage of his career. And maybe Jacksonville gets lucky, but let's be honest, that's probably not going to happen. It's one thing to go into free agency and say, we're Philadelphia, we're going to take Alshon Jeffrey. It's the Bears going out and getting Prince Amakamura. We like Prince, he's a local kid. But you go through most of these signings, and it's not as though it's a plug-and-play deal. What happens to a franchise like the New England Patriots? You have to use them as the model franchise, much to drive you Jets fans crazy. And there's been a lot of you fans crazy. Very seldom. They will go in and do some free agent work, but it's not like that's their basis of existence. They don't need to go out and do things to get people excited. Like the Chargers going out and spending the money that they did clearly is, we've got to get people excited here in Los Angeles about our vagabond franchise coming here. And yeah, we have some holes to fill. We're going to blow some guys out. They turn the roster upside down. If I'm the Houston Texans and I realize I've made a gargantuan mistake with Brock Osweiler, Brock Osweiler may go down. If I'm writing the book on Arizona sports, and I've got a few books in me on that, there'd probably be a couple pages about how Brock Osweiler should have stayed in school, should have gutted it out with Todd Graham, not run off after 1 year, not stood around with a clipboard. The flip side is he's made a boatload of dough. The other side is he was just a mercenary. He came in, he did his thing, he got out of there, he went into the league, and now he's on his third team. And honestly, Brock Osweiler, he's got a checking account and a savings account. It's a little bit bigger than mine and Eric's combined, but he's the butt end of jokes now. I mean, he really is. If you'd have think of where he was like 13 months ago. 13 months ago, Brock Osweiler was the heir apparent with Peyton Manning. But instead, he goes to Houston and takes the big dollars. And he goes to Houston and just absolutely rolls over and they scratch his belly with fleas. And they can't wait to get rid of him quick enough. And now he's over in Cleveland, and who knows where his next destination is going to be. I mean, that's just one of those deals where you think you've got it all figured out, and he's set for the rest of his life and his kids and his grandkids and his great-great-grandkids. But, man, talk about a huge fall. You'd have to look at Brock Osweiler as a huge fall. And who knows where he's going to end up. It doesn't mean – and look, I'm not hating him. I'm just putting out facts. This is facts. Doesn't mean he can't resurrect himself somewhere. Doesn't mean the right guy can't get into him or that he needs to do some things much, much, much better. I mean, think about that. They wrote him a huge check, and they realized after a year he was a fraud. So they blow him out. They ship him to Cleveland. Nobody wants to go to Cleveland. Now, is Cleveland being smart through all this? Like the story today of the Browns considering or the Patriots considering on whoever you believe. And I think it's more New England. If it's New England saying, you know what, we'll trade Jimmy Garoppolo to you, Cleveland, and we'll do it for the number one overall pick in the draft and some other things. That's very smart. You know, is Cleveland an endless mess of a franchise? Yes, they're an endless mess of a franchise. If you're a Browns fan, you know that I'm right on this. God bless you for loving your team, but the dog pound, it's been a dog team. So would you trade the number one overall pick if you're New England, or Cleveland rather, to New England for Jimmy Garoppolo? Jimmy Garoppolo solved all the problems. We see enough of Jimmy Garoppolo that you talk about potentially one of the biggest deals. Just think about that. The number one overall pick for this quarterback. And if you hit on him, everything is taken care of. If you miss on him, then you're set back for another 10 years. But if you're Cleveland, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to continue to stink? Are you supposed to continue to struggle? And I'm being kind about that. So, you know, you look at franchises like Cleveland, and then you look at Washington. We were talking about this on Monday. Their general manager wasn't even around at the combine. He was still mourning the death of his grandmother a month after it happened. God bless her soul, but a month after it happened, and you're the general manager of an NFL team? So the first day of free agency, what do the Washington Redskins do? They fire their general manager. Guys, you can't script this. Seriously. When we talk about it takes so much to get into the NFL, it just takes luck, schmoozing the right owner. I've seen plenty of guys in front offices that are incompetent, but they're really good at kissing an owner's ass. That's it. They're really good at shaking their head and saying, that's right. They're really good at being loyal to said owner, and said owner doesn't get it, that they're incompetent at what they do. And so you have this endless cycle of guys going through the league. A general manager that's not at the combine and you fire him on day one? I mean, even in the Cardinals case, we'd seen the incompetence year after year. And they finally figured it out. Michael got in there. He brought a broom. He exuded some authority. It wasn't an ugly mess with family like we've seen in some other situations. Look at what's going on with the Lakers right now. You want dysfunction with family that owns a franchise? Try to take the Lakers away from Jeannie Buss? The Buss brothers are trying to do that? Fortunately, we haven't had that with the Cardinals. And so they've been able to clean up the mess and the incompetence of years and years and years to where the franchise, it's pretty darn good now. There will always be some people that will say, well, the Bidwells are this, the Bidwells are that. And those people just aren't informed and don't get it, and most importantly, don't want to get it. But if you're the Redskins, you've made some progress. You've got this contract for Kirk Cousins that's just a load, and you got to figure out what to do with him. It's great if it's like the Cowboys for years and years and years. You Cowboy fans know this. Your team was incompetent. Commitment to incompetence, your team. You can't just give me the, oh, no, no, we're the Cowboys. We've got it all figured out now. No, you can't do that. Just because you finally hit on Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and some other nice pieces and parts. it's just really interesting to see how teams will build a franchise. If New England is able to trade Jimmy Garoppolo for the number one overall pick, I mean, you have to immediately say New England got over again. Nobody, not even a Browns fan, can say we've got it all figured out. You've got, if you're Cleveland, if you're a Browns fan, you've got to be saying, no, don't trade the number one overall pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's fascinating what's going on. Fascinating. I love this stuff. I mean, the Jets being interested in Jay Cutler, it's the same old story. It's another year of a recycled quarterback. It's another year of just going through the motions and putting a team out on the field to get its head kicked in. Stunning to me. And it's just a couple days in. But I'm not one of those that gets all wound up about free agency and the Cardinals. And Antoine Bethea, okay, it's fine. It's announced the same day Tony Jefferson leaves. We figured it out. We got somebody. He's coming here. Change in direction. Change in philosophy in San Francisco. Boom. We'll see if it works out. We'll see. But Tony Jefferson was a really good football player who got paid. All right. On the other side, we're going to get back into the March Madness. As we're broadcasting live outside of the T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas, our coverage brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. Columbus Craft Meats, appreciate J.P. Patchett and the people at Columbus Craft Meats. Said we want to go on the road with Sports360AZ.com. And we're doing it here in Las Vegas right outside waiting for the Final Four tonight, the two semifinal games, and plenty of coverage brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. We're back with more after this timeout. Live outside the T-Mobile Arena, semifinals tonight, Pac-12 tournament. Brad Sismat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show, Brad Sismat, Football AZ, 14 airings a week on Fox Sports Arizona. Appreciate the partnership with them and with the Arizona Republic. Tonight it'll be Arizona and UCLA. That will be the late game. The early game, really interesting. Cal's a bubble team against Oregon. I think Cal's football team scores more points than Cal's basketball team. They're a hard watch. I'm not quite sure why that is, but I'm expecting that to be low tonight, low scoring for Cal and Oregon to take care of business. Jimmy Vaccaro would know much more about this than I would, though. Smartest man here in Vegas, South Point Casino. Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Fine, thank you. It's been nice speaking to you the last couple of days and listening to what you had said. And you are correct, but I can tell you this, my friend. Your late game with UCLA and Arizona, that'll be the biggest bet game of the day. I'd rival that with the Carolina-Duke game. But being the time flies that you're in, and obviously, as you've been telling people, the town's crazy this weekend with the great tournaments we're having, the conference championships, and naturally, we have two huge races this Saturday and Sunday at the Speedway. So it's jam-packed, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been staying at South Point, as I've been telling people. And this morning I go down into the lobby and there's a sea of red, which is U of A fans. Like, this is a U of A convention, I think, up here in Las Vegas. And then there's a sea of NASCAR drivers and pit crew guys are already in their gear walking around. And what struck me, Jimmy, is that you've got like two completely different sets of fan bases that are all converging together. And the energy and excitement this morning in the South Point as I'm walking around was, I don't know, and it's not even a week from now, which I'm sure will be 10 times even greater, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And you know what it is, Brad, and obviously speaking from a viewing point, what I have for the past over 40 years now, that this is what it's become. I mean, you could have never mentioned basketball tournaments in town. You could have never mentioned big races. You could have never mentioned we have a $12 million bowling event that started a few weeks ago that'll go clear until, I think, past July. Michael Gaughan, the owner of the South Point, built a $35 million bowling alley separate just for the people who want to come and participate in these tournaments. So what it was and what it is, and I'm sure from your side of it, having people like you keep talking about it, hopefully somewhere down the line, maybe the NCAA will say, geez, they do it pretty good in Las Vegas and people seem to enjoy it. But that's a wrap, buddy, and everybody's simply enjoying it.
Talking with Jimmy Vaccaro. Okay, so tonight, UCLA, U of A, what's the view in Vegas on this game?
Monster game with this one, make no mistake about it. The game opened up UCLA 1.5 total around the 157-158 mark. And the money on UCLA, we're up to 2.5 as I'm looking at my screen here. Just about the entire city is right in line with the 2.5. And as you were saying earlier, here's the difference, my friend. You talk about California slowing the ball down. The UCLA total is, as I told you, 155, 156, 124 for the California-Oregon game. Oregon is a 9-point favorite. But I can tell you this, that if California has a chance to win, they got to play in the 120s. But like I said, the second game is going to be a monster game. We've been bouncing around. We are at 1.5 now. It took some what I would consider sizable bets on UCLA when we had the game 1.5. But there's a lot of time between now and then, my friend.
Jimmy, when you have a tournament like the Pac-12 where the last 23 games, the higher seed has won, no upsets, is that good for Vegas? Well, what's Vegas's view on no upsets in a tournament?
Well,
is there anything there?
Obviously, well, from a bookmaker standpoint, it can sting a little bit because the general public, they like to bet their favorites. The general public likes to bet on what I've been calling for the past 25 years, the marquee team. And the marquee teams are usually the ones that are favored in the course of the game. Now, yesterday, as you looked at the screen or the results of the game, I think we had 6 of the first 7 games, the favorites showed up. So the parlay people got us early, but we got them late on a few big games. And you know, that's how it is. So it does hurt, but you know what? In the long run, as long as they're here, as long as they're betting, in the end, we still hold our 6 or 7%, so, you know, no harm done, really.
Last question with Jimmy Vaccaro from the South Point, and I appreciate their hospitality this week, and that is, I talked yesterday on the show about Brent Musburger and what he is doing there with you, and I see people that show up that want to put their nose against the glass and watch him do his thing. Just talk about that a little bit, because I think for fans coming into Vegas, Brent's been an iconic figure, and he's there at the South Point. He's doing his thing, and what this whole network's about, what fans can get involved in, they can hear it other places. Just everything with Brent you're doing, Jimmy.
Well, first of all, thank you for being a part of it also. And that's going to be the open venue we're going to have. And, you know, have anybody who obviously means something can add to the radio show. And you surely did yesterday and the day before. That's the thing we're going to do. Brent, he likes it. Obviously, he likes about the gambling side of it. I've known Brent for over 25 years. About a year and a half ago, his nephew actually told me that maybe somewhere down the line we could do something. Hooked him up, me, him, and Michael Gonstadt for a while, and here it is a year later. A beautiful studio that Michael built right in the sports book, right next to the sports book here. Brent will be on daily from 3 to 5 our time out here, where Al Bernstein is one of the other announcers, and we have obviously a long way to go. 5 hours now by football season, 12 hours of content, and like I said, everything so far is going well. And you're invited anytime you're around, my friend.
Well, one last story, and this is off topic. This morning I'm looking at the numbers. I get up to come out here and do the show, and I realize I left my cell phone. I walk back in. I'm expecting the worst. I'm at the South Point. I walk back in. I have a look on my face. I had 2 security guards that said, "Can I help you with something?" I said, "I think I left my cell phone." They said, "You need to go right over here." They took me right in. Guy said, what's the picture that's on the cell phone?" Boom, I got it in my hand. So the hospitality has been great, and I do appreciate it greatly. And it was fun being on the show. I'd love to do that again, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
Okay. My pleasure. Keep in touch. And you're in for a long day, my friend, but an exciting day. I'll talk to you down the line.
Stay well. There's Jimmy Vaccaro. Jimmy Vaccaro over at South Point. Up next, we'll have Matt Muehlbach. So Pac-12 Network's Matt Muehlbach on the other side. Some other things before we get to Matt that I will get to. We broadcast live outside here at the T-Mobile Arena tonight. It's Arizona and UCLA. It's a late tip, guys. You got a long day in front of you, like Jimmy said. It's 8:30 up here tonight, 9:30 in Arizona. And before that, you've got Duke and North Carolina. So you got some good things in front of you today. And by the way, people were asking about this venue. So the cheapest ticket is $49, and they put a service charge on top of it of $14. So it's $63 to get in to see these games. Now, the games are sold out tonight. They're already sold out tonight. Both semifinals are sold out. And tomorrow's championship game tomorrow night is sold out as well. So, I mean, it's big, big, big time. And you would think the Pac-12 is going to end up with 2 number 2 seeds before this is all said and done. And that's assuming Oregon wins. Oregon's got to beat Cal. But the loser of tonight's UCLA-Arizona game, does it hurt them in terms of seeding? We talked about how you'd want to be out west with Gonzaga if Gonzaga makes it as a one seed. What happened to Kansas yesterday, losing as a one seed? I don't think that's going to hurt them. Our coverage brought to you by the good people at Columbus Craft Meats. Appreciate Columbus Craft Meats, sports360az.com. On the road here in Las Vegas, we're back with more after this timeout. Sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat at the T-Mobile Arena. Tonight's the semifinals of the Pac-12 tournament. As is the case with things like this, Matt Muehlbach is in still on a conference call with the Pac-12, so we may or may not get him. And there's a couple other guests we're working on. It's just part of doing a show live. It's fine. Knocked myself out on that. Let me switch over to ASU. I told you earlier I was going to get into them because we know about tonight. So Arizona State finishes the season in another disappointing fashion to some at 15-17. And yesterday's game, it was a three-point game at halftime, but it felt like a 12-point game. And Bobby Hurley was doing his best to do what he could do to try to corral his players to stay disciplined. That's very, very difficult. My friend Jeff Munn wrote a very long column about how Torian Graham was missed on the all-conference team. And I'll tell you, Torian Graham yesterday in 38 minutes scored 32 points on 12 of 25 shooting, 7 of 16 from three-point country. And that all looks good and sounds good. But I think for Bobby Hurley, Torian Graham will go down as one of those players that helped bridge the gap and that you built the program around for a season. But I don't think he's the type of player that long haul is going to get them over the top. There's entirely too many decisions when you have the ball and you're up 8 and you have possession. I saw this against Stanford, and I saw it yesterday a couple of times when they had the lead and the ball, and shot selection was just not good. There's no other way to put it. Nice kid, great story, leading scorer, but you know, the whole conference said we don't think that he is worthy of being on the all-conference team. And so there were some ASU fans all worked up about that. Watching him play, I think they were right. I think the coaches were right on this one. He's a nice player, but I wouldn't say among the top 15. That's just me, not hating on the kid. Nothing like that at all. I think the incident down in Tucson early in the season hurt him, and maybe they didn't forgive him on that. But I think the players that like Trey Holder and Cody Justice and Shannon Evans, to me, and Aleka was really good again yesterday. Aleka in 38 minutes had 11 boards against the trees of Oregon, and somehow he's able to hang in there. He did a nice job, but those are just parts to get the team to the next level. If we're sitting here a year from now and they're a first round elimination, or they make it to day number 2 and they lose in a game that's not close, then I'd say, you know, year 3 of the program, Bobby still has work to do to get guys over the top. Next year, he's going to have 3 seniors. Let's not forget about that. 3 seniors, and you should not be going into games at UCLA and at Arizona and struggling next year. That just shouldn't be the case where it's a runaway when you go on the road. And it wasn't this year when they went to Oregon. It was a close game this year when they went to Oregon. So I wrote a column about how I think Bobby's going to be pursued. Some people in my profession took that as he is already being pursued. No, I never said that. I never said that. I got some interesting texts. What do you mean he's being pursued? He's not being pursued. I'm merely pointing out that the job that he's doing, it takes a lot to turn the Titanic around. This job is one of the biggest mirages in the entire country. Looks great on the outside. Get on the inside. Don't tell me I'm wrong on this. How many coaches have come and gone, chewed up, spit out, moved on, can't get through the lack of facilities, so on and so forth. My point is, I see real progress. Remy Martin, this guard that's coming in, who's Bagley's teammate out in Los Angeles, is a terrific player. Bobby's in on some bigs. Bobby's got some bigs that are coming. So he's getting players that you would see go to U of A. U of A landed another 5-star recruit yesterday. That's not a surprise. Emmanuel Aka, the 6'6 small forward from Utah. The last seven years, they've had a top 7 recruiting class in the country. I'm sitting with some of these recruiting analysts up here, and it's just a given fact that Sean's going to get guys to go to Tucson. You know, the joke is that They come to Tucson and he tells them, you're never going to come back here, but you're going to have a great basketball experience. And so far they've had that. You know, I think tonight, I said this back in January, when U of A ended up beating UCLA at UCLA, not a big deal to me. Oh my gosh, you would have thought I just told every U of A fan that their program's not important, but it wasn't. It's not a big deal. They're going to play each other again. And sure enough, UCLA went down and pounded U of A on their home court. So now tonight they're playing for a third time. This all leads up. The regular season doesn't carry the same weight as tonight. This game's already sold out. It's 20,000 seats. The odds guys, bookmakers, the money people, they're all interested into it. It's in Las Vegas. It's on ESPN. It's Bill Walton screwing around. It's got every last bit of glitz and glamour that you would want. It's got every last bit of glitz and glamour. The early game tonight, Cal sitting there with an RPI of 56, a strength of schedule of 48. Pac-12 likes to tell everybody they deserve, Cal deserves to be in. I don't think that's the case. I don't think Cal's there quite yet. Beating Oregon State and Utah so far, to me, is not one of the big runs that you'd want to see out of a team. You know, Ivan Robb and Rooks, Sean Rooks is the late Sean Rooks' son, terrific players inside. But I think Oregon wins this game with ease tonight. It's really three teams and the rest. That's how it's been this season. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. It's Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. High school, college, pro. Pro college, high school makes no difference to us. Things that we see. Eric wrote a terrific... Eric's notebook on high schools every week is a must read. It just is. There's stuff going on that he sees. Haley's weekly blog on the Coyotes. Really good stuff that she's doing, but from a different point of view on the Coyotes. And Jordan every week with the Rock and Refuel Recruiting Roundup is solid content as well. I want to thank the good people at Columbus Craft Meats for providing us the coverage here in Las Vegas. Columbus Craft Meats, this time of year in March with all the madness coming up. Make sure for your parties and all your viewing habits, you've got plenty of Columbus Craft Meats on hand for that. Thanks for being with us.